on. 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio.
Oh, we got it! On the run, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Fights and pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
And now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Happy Football Thursday. Vic Carucci with you for the next 60 minutes. Talking Browns ball, talking National Football League, big picture stuff. Chris Mortensen of ESPN stops by. He's one of our recurring guests on this show. Great stuff from Chris. Going to break down the rookie quarterback's performances, not just Brandon Whedon, but the entire crop. Five starters making their debut last weekend. We'll hear what Mr. Mortensen has to say with that. Mort, going to take a look at the history of the series between the Browns and the Bengals. Lots of history there. Steve King, our resident historian for the Browns, will stop by, as he always does on Thursdays during the regular season, to do that. Gives you a little perspective on the years that these teams have played each other. And L.J. Fort, who had a tremendous rookie debut, the linebacker, the undrafted free agent, he's on the show tonight. We'll visit with him, get his thoughts on things. Interesting guy, too, with an interesting background and real. You want to talk about a work ethic. You want to talk about someone. I mean, this is why you find out why, especially when you hear from these players, why an undrafted free agent makes the 53-man roster and is in the starting lineup, gets chosen to start when you have injuries. I mean, he's in there because of injury issue or issues. Obviously, you had the suspension, of course, of Scott Fujita. But it's a player for that first game. He's a player for it who just made himself impossible for the coaches to say, you know what, the better alternative is get somebody off the team, or you know, get somebody from outside the team and get more experience. Trusting this guy and then having him come in and reward that trust with a great performance is really, I mean, these are the fun stories of this league and of this football team. So we'll hear from LJ. We hear from you. You submit your questions, your comments, all the time, pretty much around the clock, via the Browns official Facebook, Twitter pages. The Browns Daily Twitter page, Browns_daily, is the handle on that one. You also send us emails, daily@clevelandbrowns.com is that address. Want to go that route? Or you call them in, our voicemail line, 855-363-DAILY, 855-363-2459. Junior from Twitter asks, do you see the Browns running a no-huddle, fast-tempo offense with Brandon Whedon? Wish they would. I think that is in their package of offensive toys, tools, for sure. I mean, to run a faster-paced offense near the half, you know, in usual two-minute situations, I'm taking from your question, Junior, and it's via Twitter, so it's 140 characters or less, so you couldn't get into a lot of detail, but I'm going to take from this that you want to see them do this as just a regular course of offense, and I don't think that's in the offing. I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule out anything. When the opponent has a lot to do with it, bigger physical, maybe slower defenses, slower moving defenses, you want to catch them off guard, or you, more than anything, you want to prevent substitution. But you have to trust that everybody, not just the quarterback, can handle moving at a faster pace. And I would say that's a big challenge for a rookie. We know that a lot of things are a big challenge for Brandon Whedon after his performance last week. Loading him up with a lot of thoughts or a lot of material can overload a young player, and this might do that. You got to work at that pace. I think the more experience you have, the better. But again, we're also talking linemen. We're talking receivers. We're talking everybody moving at that rapid-fire approach, making their reads, their decisions quicker. I think it's harder to do with a young team because they just haven't seen and don't know as much as they need to know. But is it doable, and is it done at the collegiate level where these guys previously played? Yeah, sure. And it's got a place. I think the coaches would be selective. I doubt though that it would become the staple. Steve via Twitter, why won't Pat Shurmur tailor the offense to Whedon with shotgun five receiver sets? Well, again, the structure of what they do is quarterback under center. I mean, this is the design of this offense, and then drop back, let routes evolve that way. And it's what the coaches know. It's what the coaches coach. And it's what they believe in as a scheme, as a system. This is not to say that what you're saying is wrong, that what you're saying doesn't have a place, and that he could never be in shotgun. But again, to what I'm going to assume is a suggestion that a recommendation that that's what he should do full time or most of the time as he did at Oklahoma State, I think that's unlikely because it's not what this coaching staff runs or believes in as a steady diet. Now, does it fit Brandon Whedon? Yeah, he showed that at the collegiate level. Things are a little different here. I mean, I don't know that shotgun versus under center is going to make him play better against the defenses he's facing in the NFL. The speed, the knowledge, the complexities, the coaching. I think a lot of those things are challenges for him. But all in all, the worst of what he did last week was not connect when the opportunities were pretty glaring for him to make plays, which tells me the coaching, the scheming, the X's and O's weren't a real problem. The problem was the execution, and the problem was a young guy who just wasn't ready to deliver, wasn't ready to make those plays. And I say not ready, didn't make them. He was prepared in the sense of practicing and watching tape, but I think once the game is kicked off, physically, mentally, all those things have to come together for you. I watched some practice during the week. I can assure you I didn't see what we saw on Sunday. On Friday, for sure, I did not see any evidence of that. And I know the Fox crew, because I happened to be watching with those guys on Friday, they didn't see that either. They would have brought that up in the broadcast. But anyway, we are just getting this thing started. Chris Mortensen, the Mort Report, ESPN, he's going to join us. We'll talk big picture NFL with him, and we'll get his thoughts, too, on the Browns, especially on Brandon Whedon, as I want to delve into these quarterbacks, these rookie quarterbacks. Very interesting story trend in this league. That's next on Cleveland Browns Daily. It is driven by Liberty Ford, and you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.
Buy an Emmy of Focus.
But you and Bob have been doing so well.
Well, she's 18, straight A's. We promised,
you know. How can any couple endure such turmoil? Don't risk it.
It's Liberty Ford. The hardest part is agreeing on color. The $169 a month on a new Focus, that's easy.
Oh, buying a car cannot be that easy.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, Home.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Hey Browns fans, Arby's wants you to win a ride to the Dog Pound. Stop into Arby's to enter to win a 2012 Ford Fiesta, plus four suite tickets and exclusive behind-the-scenes experiences for the Sunday, November 4th game against division rivals from Baltimore. For those that bleed orange and brown, visit your local Cleveland area Arby's restaurant for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Game ends September 28th, 2012. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of Ohio at least 18 years of age or older. Subject to official rules. Car courtesy of Liberty Ford. Sponsored by the Arby's Cleveland Co-op.
The new computer lab sure is popular, Shelly.
So I've heard. And I'm setting up four more stations next week.
When it comes to passion, Shelly tops the list. She heads the IT department for our local school system. Not long ago, she came to me and my team at Time Warner Cable Business Class with an idea. Let students take classes from any of the district's 10 schools without leaving their own classrooms.
After all, the more resources the kids have, the more they'll learn.
When I met with Shelley, we came up with a way to connect all the schools with an Ethernet solution. Now she can stream high-def video between locations. Who knows what Shelley will think of next? Helping students learn is Shelley's business. I'm proud she's made it my business, too.
To learn more, call 866-TWC4BIZ or visit twcbc.com. Time Warner Cable Business Class. You first, the technology follows.
Products and services not available in all areas. Some restrictions apply.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services limited-term financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Motown Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You'll hear Motown rejoins from our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale, throughout the show. Vic Carucci with you until top of the hour. Hey, fans, join me next Tuesday, that's September 18th, right here, this time slot, 6 to 7 p.m. at the new Quaker Steak and Lube in Lakewood. For this show, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we will have guest appearances. Yeah. Going to enjoy it there with some folks who show up and raffle for Browns prizes and much, much more. Quaker Steak and Lube is located at 15314 Detroit Road in Lakewood. I'll tell you who one of those guests will be is the color analyst for the Browns, Doug Deacon. He's going to join me out there. So we hope to see you there, too. And this segment, guess what? It's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. So happy to have with us right now a great friend from ESPN, the one and only Chris Mortensen, back on the show. Chris, how you doing, man?
Well, my mom is glad there's the one and only Chris Mortensen.
I like it.
She turned 88 years old last week, Vic.
And, God bless her.
And then for 35 or 40 years, she has claimed that I'm responsible for every one of her gray hairs out of her four boys.
That sounds very familiar to me, too. So, Chris, let's talk about rookie quarterbacks, big topic of conversation in Cleveland, but really throughout the NFL, and the debut of the five of them this past weekend. Just your thoughts on we know the story that Robert Griffin III was head and shoulders above the rest, but what does it say to you just about the whole group and how you see it panning out and where does it go from here also for Griffin?
I think we need to let it unfold. We all agreed. I think most people agreed that when Robert Griffin went to the Redskins, we said he's got the best chance of success, especially early on. Not only is he a very gifted guy, I mean, you know, and a true franchise quarterback, we looked at this draft and said there are two true franchise quarterbacks, one being Andrew Luck, one being Robert Griffin III. But he went to the Redskins. And, you know, anybody who knows when Mike Shanahan, and I'll say his son Kyle Shanahan, because Peyton Manning told me that when he met with Kyle and Mike right after this trade was made with the Rams to get Griffin's rights, that he came away extremely impressed with Kyle Shanahan, who's now the offensive coordinator there. And you talk about putting in that scheme, that system with a quarterback that really fits the Mike Shanahan prototype, which is, you know, go back to Elway, go back to Jay Cutler even, guys that can make every play in the playbook, guys that have mobility, and their running game. I mean, hey, listen, Robert Griffin III only threw it 26 times the other day. I mean, he made some great throws. And their defense is better, certainly than the other teams for the most part. So I think he was set up for success. At the same time, still totally shocked at what happened in New Orleans the other day. And the other rookie quarterbacks, I think they probably came out about the way we thought for the most part. You know, I don't think there are any big surprises.
Well, one of the things, of course, that Browns fans want to hear and want to know is that, okay, Brandon Whedon couldn't have gotten much worse for a rookie in his first game. And we know it's, you know, to think that you won't have other games like that in the course of a career is unrealistic. But, just from week one to week two, and what, knowing what you know of Whedon, what's your sense of how he can bounce back from that?
Well, we've lost our patience with quarterbacks, which didn't used to be the case. And one thing we have to remember, one thing that I was told by defensive coordinators after last year's success of that rookie quarterback class is, you guys, meaning us, the media, all made a big deal of how this lockout was going to hurt the rookie quarterbacks. He goes, it hurt us as defensive coordinators because we have a bunch of new parts too, and we couldn't install a lot of our defense, or certainly the sophisticated parts of our defense that normally would confuse a rookie quarterback. Let's see what happens this year. Now, the rules still favor quarterbacks, for the most part. As far as Brandon Whedon goes, listen, I've been around him a couple summers, both times at the Manning passing camp. You know, it was kind of weird because I always said, man, he throws it good, but I always said, man, but he's going to be 28 years old when it, you know. So I probably didn't give Brandon his due. Now, he does have an adjustment coming from the Oklahoma State offense. I mean, I know some of the basic concepts out of that offense and how they run it, and, there's going to be a transition. You know, and the other thing is, when you're playing with young receivers, you know, that's even more of a transition. I mean, he doesn't have the veteran receivers that Robert Griffin III does. He doesn't have, Reggie Wayne like Andrew Luck does.
Right.
So I would say we have to be patient. I don't like what I've seen from Whedon. I think it's an offshoot of just the adjustment that he has to make going from that particular offense into the NFL. And the thing you want to see as a Browns fan is that that it gets better, and that it gets better, especially by the midseason, and then you see it, the arrow pointing up, But let's remember this. I think it's Phil Simms who told me. He goes, even the so-called elite quarterbacks have about four average or stinker games per year, and that's when they're in their prime.
Right, right. Chris Mortensen is joining us from ESPN here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. What surprised you the most about week one, and maybe a storyline, I guess, that you're going to take from that? What, good or bad?
Well, obviously, let's flip it over on I thought the biggest surprise, obviously, on the good and bad level, was really happening in New Orleans with the Redskins and the Saints. And, maybe we shouldn't have been that surprised with the Redskins. But on the Saints, the one thing, and just talking with some good people who have been in the league, evaluating them, somebody even going into the season said, you guys are not taking into account that the defensive talent that the Saints have is average to below average, that their defensive line is average, their linebackers are average or below average, their secondary is pretty much in the same spot. And so – we've just kind of a tendency to say, well, they've got Drew Brees, and so they won't need Sean Payton. Well, I think that's probably a bigger deal than we thought, but we never thought about the talent level, that the talent level on defense might be, one that doesn't really lend itself to a championship for them. But it's only week one, so we'll see. I mean, I thought that the Cowboys – opened my eyes a little bit. I didn't, I wasn't high on the Cowboys, wasn't down on them, but I, after watching them against the Giants, I could see where their defense has improved, and they're gonna be in that thing. And then the Packers, everybody's talking, and I think it's legit. I mean, last year when the Giants went into Lambeau in the playoffs, it's a game I thought the Giants would win. I mean, I just thought the matchups favored them, and they have deficiencies. We just think these teams don't have deficiencies, and playing the 49ers is no fun. I mean, even though the Giants beat the 49ers to get to the Super Bowl last year, if you could go ask those guys on the side, would you like to play the 49ers this week?
Yeah.
It'd be like, no thanks. Can we pick somebody else?
And,
So I think that tonight, this game with the Bears, this is not a gimme for the Packers, even though they've kind of had a good run against the Bears here lately. This is not a game I'm automatically putting a W under. And what happens if they lose? What happens if they go 0-2 at home?
Yeah, that's what I was going to. And 0-2 period and 0-2 at home, their chances of being a playoff team, and history shows us, are very low.
I'm not big on that 0-1, that 1-0 mark, an 0-1 mark. 0-2, I have to admit, I've had to pay a little bit more attention, but I think 0-2 at home would be even more alarming. And at the same time, acknowledging that they played really good teams and they are playing really good teams here.
You know, and what's happening in Green Bay, Chris, is kind of you look at the broad picture of this league where things are with the idea that you've got to have a great quarterback, not even a good quarterback anymore, but a great quarterback to have success. And I guess it's presumed that you have other solid pieces, but you don't necessarily have to have a great team. And the Packers have ridden that, or they rode that last year with Aaron Rodgers. It got him so far. It didn't get him to another Super Bowl championship, but we know that formula, and maybe we know the flaw of it now. Now it takes me to Denver, where the Broncos have Peyton Manning. Manning looked, you know, is pretty close to or reasonably close to vintage Manning in his first official game with the Broncos last weekend. But do you think that's enough for Denver to be a contender?
Well, they'll be a contender. I mean, you know, now if they go on the road and beat Atlanta, I think they're going to be better than I thought they'd be. I mean, I had them grabbing a wild card spot this year. I actually had the Chiefs win the division. But I felt like it could flip-flop. And then, you know, Peyton Manning, look, his arm is still, you know, it still isn't at the strength level of a couple of years ago. Everybody says he had four neck surgeries. He actually had a neck surgery after one. Before the 2010 season, and played very well. But you know, to me, it's just the way he operated the game as a quarterback, and just gave everybody a lesson. But the thing about the Broncos is that their offensive line, I think, is better than what he played with in Indianapolis. They have I think Willis McGahee has surprised everybody having this much tread left on the tire. They run the ball. Kiefer Manning is just educating and getting these young receivers caught up. Because I think playing on the road, playing in this dome, the Georgia Dome on Monday night, you know, maybe the young receivers could struggle a little bit more, and I'm sure that's what Peyton's working hard on. So, and their defense is a good defense. It's not a dominating defense, but it is a good defense. So there's no reason to think that the Broncos cannot be a playoff team. I think what we want to know is if they get better as the season moves on, are we now putting them in the class of, you know, the Ravens, the Patriots, you know, the Steelers? Obviously, they're already in their class. The Houston Texans, who I think are one of those teams. So I think that's what we're looking at with Peyton Manning and the Broncos, just how good are they going to be? Are they going to be a true Super Bowl contender? Because, you know, Tim Tebow and the Broncos were not a Super Bowl contender.
Right. Right. Well, sticking with that theme of quarterbacking as it applies to the Browns division, to the AFC North, we saw Joe Flacco very impressive in that opener against the Bengals, and Andy Dalton not so much in the first game of his second season in the NFL. We just talked about Peyton Manning, and he had the duel with Ben Roethlisberger. He got the better of that one. But as you look at this division, is Flacco – did that make a statement to you that Flacco and Cam Cameron's offense are going to be a different deal here, that it's a more explosive Ravens team, and look out for that?
Yeah, I think so. By the way, I didn't think Andy Dalton played that poorly. So, I mean, I always look at how the ball comes out of his hands and whether he's thrown it well and the circumstances. That's a tough place to play in. But as far as Flacco goes, I mean, I know that they talked about using the no huddle last year. But then they, you know, because of the lockout, because of having a rookie receiver in Torrey Smith and a couple of young tight ends, you know, they just felt like, okay, we'll run the conventional offense. Now, they've had the offseason to put it in. They went and got Jacoby Jones as a slot receiver. That helps out Anquan Boldin. Torrey Smith is probably going to be, you know, pretty close to a Pro Bowl receiver. Ray Rice, we know what he is. Taking care of his contract was important to them. They think they fixed the offensive line. I guess where I'm going with this is, Vic, for the first time, I think I can actually project that this becoming where the offense is equal or greater than the Ravens defense, which absolutely puts them in a very short list of Super Bowl contenders in the AFC.
Oh. All right. Well, great breakdown from you, as always, Chris. We appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you a little bit later in the season, man.
Sounds good, Vic. Look forward to it. Take care.
He is Chris Mortensen from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. More is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I really need a new car.
Oh, no. Why?
Well, mine's only a two-seater, and I have three kids.
Are you sure that's a good reason?
Pretty sure.
But all the numbers, the decisions, the agony.
Not at Liberty Ford. I get top dollar for my trade-in, and right now I can lease the all-new 2013 Escape for only $249 a month.
Well, that's just too easy.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
And all kinds of other tempting things. Take time, great food, get to quick to take a loop.
Here's some math for back to school that everyone can understand. The Loop's 10 for under 10 bucks. Fill up your tank with the Loop's signature creations for a limited time.
Great times, great food, get to quick to take a loop.
Did you know that a sneeze can linger in the air for hours? Now, trying to avoid breathing in the germs of that sneeze can be like playing a full regulation game plus overtime all on defense. Exhausting. Discount Drug Mart and Halo want to keep you on the offensive this season. Halo is the first ever oral antiseptic that kills airborne germs you breathe in. Just three sprays in the back of your mouth can protect you for up to 6 hours. Pick up Halo at your local Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns. For more information, visit halogermdefense.com.
Great interception!
Browns fans, unite! Single game and three game ticket plans are on sale now. Don't miss your chance to purchase tickets for all the exciting home matchups. Three game ticket plans include sold out games versus the Bills and Bengals or Steelers. Call now for the best available seats, including the club level, where fans can enjoy new food offerings from three of Cleveland's culinary stars. Call 440-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today.
And at Vans Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell oil and say, hooray. Oh, no. We work to bring you deals on oil. And then we say, hooray. Slow and cool-like. Right now at Advance, get a 5-plus quart jug of Pennzoil Conventional Motor Oil with filter for just $20.99. Wait for it. Hooray. A Pennzoil Oil Chain Special, just $20.99. Only at Advance. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details.
Welcome to Bonefish Grill.
And that is how I beat Mount Rushmore at a staring contest.
Midweek, an undiscovered island in between weekends. We're drawn in by the bulls at Bonefish Grill. But first, seek the shelter of a honey-kissed fresh apple martini. We start with Bang Bang Shrimp for $8.90. The Diablo Shrimp Fettuccine Bowl then ferries me through a river of deliciousness. The price of the trip, $13.90. Greeting us next, a bowl of shrimp and chicken pad thai. Asian rice noodles with the traditional pad thai sauce for $13.90. A delectable milestone in this odyssey. I start a message in a bottle. It reads, I'm here and I'm staying.
Join us at Bonefish Grill and enjoy a wood-grilled swordfish and pumpkin ravioli bowl topped with feta, crispy sage, and shallot brown butter, just $19.90.
Now that is a sword worth falling on. Bonefish Grill. Happiness here.
In Cleveland, at the corner of Rockside Road and 77. Visit bonefishgrill.com for the location nearest you.
If you need a good lawyer, listen up. Use mine, Russo Rosalina. Hi, gang. Riz here for Russo Rosalina, general practice family law firm. Joe, Gabriella, and Basil have been doing it for years. Two locations, too. East Side, Richmond Town Square. West Side, Parmatown on Ridge. If you suffered a loss of a loved one, Russo Rosalina can handle the estate for you. Injuries, divorce, bankruptcy, wills, they do it. Go to RRLPA.com. That's RRLPA.com, Russo Rosalina.
Hi, this is Muhammad Masquerade, and you're listening to the Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right. Yeah, you heard the receiver say it. That's what we are, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with you. Jamer Howardson, our own, periodically catches up with players for little chats that we like to air on this show, and today, he focuses on one of those young linebackers who had such a big game, L.J. Fort, the rookie undrafted free agent on the Browns, who started and played so well in the opener against the Eagles. And Jameer caught him after practice and asked him how this week of workouts is going.
Practice has been great. Coaches do a great job week in, week out, getting us prepared for the season and our opponents. They really put a lot of work in, and you can tell just by when they go over stuff with us, how detailed everything is. So it's been good.
And just from looking at this Bengals offense, what jumps out to you?
They have a lot of weapons. Green and Gershon. So I think that's what we're focusing a lot of our attention on. They got back, hasn't fumbled in over 500 carries. So they're real solid in the sound. So we just got to try to keep those guys contained.
Well, defensively, from last week's game, you guys are coming off one heck of a game. Just talk about your mindset as you went into your first NFL regular season game.
Yeah, well, it was definitely a dream come true, kind of thrown in the fire. I would have never imagined starting the season out, being undrafted and everything. I was just fighting to make the 53, then I was thrown into a game. So then that whole week, I really didn't have time to think about, I'm starting a game. I was just preparing for Vic and McCoy and that high-powered offense. But afterwards, it kind of hit me that I just started an NFL game. So it was definitely a blessing, and thank God for it.
Not only did you get a sack, but you got an interception against Michael Vick, probably a guy who you grew up watching play. Take me through that interception.
Yeah, it was definitely an emotional roller coaster. I was the interception, and ball just got tipped. DeQuell made a nice play on it, so I caught the ball, and it felt so good. It was bliss for the moment.
Let's talk about DeQuell Jackson. You're surrounded by a lot of veteran players on this defensive side of the ball. What have you taken away from these guys?
Scott and DeQuell do a great job of teaching the rookies, and they're right there with us along the way, off and on the field. So they're right there for advice if we make a mistake or if there's something we can do better. They're right there in our ear for us.
And you mentioned earlier about how you were undrafted rookie free agent and your focus was just trying to make the 53-man roster. Being in that mindset of an undrafted rookie free agent, talk about that. You know, do you feel like you had a chip on your shoulder and you had something to prove?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure everybody who's undrafted has an extra motivation in them. So it's kind of nice being undrafted. And then with Craig, too, being undrafted, we're kind of like running mates in this whole thing. I got somebody right there who's has an extra motivation in them, just like I do, so we can kind of feed off each other. So, like the vets always say, this happens so fast, so just enjoy every moment of it. So every single chance I have to practice it, to get better, every meeting we have, it's going to go by fast, so I'm just soaking it all up.
Now, LJ, up until this point, a lot of people didn't know who you are. Tell us about yourself. What do you like to do outside of football?
Well, outside of football, my life's centered around Jesus, really. So I'm just... outside of football, I'm really just trying to find different ways to serve and love on people and just try to make this place better.
When you have the captain on the defense, DeQuell Jackson, who basically says to the media, like, you know what, Craig Robinson, LJ Fort, those guys really stepped up and they proved to us, the defense, that these guys really brought it last week against the Eagles. What does that mean to you?
Definitely a good feeling coming from should be a Pro Bowler, so that's definitely a good feeling. But at the same time, we know we have a long, long way to go to even think about being on his and Scott's level. So we're just trying to learn from them each and every day and just get better.
LJ, thank you for your time and good luck against the Bengals.
For sure, thank you.
It's now your chance to ask Vic on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
To the Browns' social media pages we go. To Twitter, Kevin, will Colt McCoy play at all this week? Well, I'm not going to say no, because obviously anything can happen, and that's a pretty wide-open question when you account for injury and all those other things, Kevin. But I would say the plan is for him not to play. The plan is for Brandon Whedon to perform much better, which we know isn't going to take a lot to get much better than what that game was last week, but much better, and therefore he'll start and finish the game against the Bengals. If it's not much better, if he's struggling, and I think this becomes interesting, because if he's still the guy who struggled so mightily in that Philadelphia game, then I think there's thoughts. I think the coaching staff would have to look and see, is it time to get a reliever on the field, keeping with the whole baseball thing, Whedon's former career. And we'll see how that plays out. I mean, the full intention is to go in with him as the starter. I don't think they're giving thoughts necessarily. I think it'd be unrealistic to say that you don't think of all – why do they – you think of all options, alternatives, why do they have quarterback meetings that involve all the quarterbacks? Because you want them all ready, and that would include Colt McCoy, and that would include, of course, Thaddeus Lewis in that room with Brandon Whedon, with Mark Whipple, the quarterback's coach, meeting with Brad Childress, the offensive coordinator, and, of course, hearing from Pat Shurmur as well. Steve from Twitter, he said, I thought T.J. Ward played a huge part in the D's success against the Eagles, was making plays all over. Your thoughts? Love the show, Steve says. Steve, thank you for that, for the love. Yeah, absolutely, T.J. Ward played a major role. I loved how he was utilized in the blitzing and how he got to the quarterback, either got there to make a play, got there to force and hurry him. He's looks so much. In fact, he looks better. I think he looked in that game, you know, better than the Ward we saw prior to the injury that he suffered that ended his season prematurely last year, the foot injury. And he's determined, you know, he was determined this offseason to improve his conditioning, to get in top shape. And he's a catalyst. He's a guy that his game, his hitting, his exuberance, his aggressiveness is contagious. Renee, I believe that's how you pronounce this, from Facebook. Browns defense too much for, this is his outlook on Sunday's game, this Sunday's game. Browns defense too much for what he calls a mediocre Bengals offense. Hopefully the Browns offense shows up Browns all day. Well, I don't know if I'm going to agree with you that Bengals offense would be mediocre. It did not play well against the Ravens. We know that. But I think it's capable of playing a whole lot better. And that's the thing that would concern me, because it will take another top-notch Browns defensive effort. And here's the thing. Can you put together back-to-back games where you're getting five turnovers? And yeah, I'd say that's pretty tough. That's pretty tough to match the numbers. But you can match the effort. You can match the effectiveness of continuing to generate turnovers, plural, whether it's five or two or three, whatever. That would still be, I think, substantial and should generally, normally give you enough to win a game if your offense is cooperating. And I think that's the other dynamic to this. If we see a better running game from the Browns, which this team's determined to deliver, to go along with a better quarterbacking showing by Brandon Whedon. But if you're running the ball better, and that, again, when you think about what the Browns defense, there are those who would say it was overplayed, they were given maybe too much credit. I don't think you can give too much credit to a defense that dealt with those handicaps. A strong running game makes your defense better, plain and simple. And they didn't have that going for them. They were out there for a lot of snaps, 90-some-odd for guys like DeQuell Jackson, as Bill Davis, who was on the show earlier this week, pointed out, the linebackers coach for the Browns. Mark from Facebook, he said, like some other folks have been saying on the on this Browns official Facebook page, he said, Brandon Whedon has potential, but let him learn from a veteran before throwing him at a team like the Eagles. Well, that's hard to argue that the best scenario is letting a rookie learn, but I don't know that, given the coaching that he has, I don't know that necessarily enhances him or his ability to play better, which is, I'm saying that after a game where you're going to say, wait a minute, you know, you saw how poorly he played. He could use anything and everything to make himself better. And that's true. But I think the quarterback's role in this, and you refer to McCoy as the veteran. He is, of course, chronologically in age younger than Whedon. And number two, his experience is pretty limited. But I think what he offers is an added perspective that complements what Whedon is hearing from the coaching staff. And the voice that he's got to hear the loudest and clearest is Pat Shurmur's, more so than the quarterback's coach, Mark Whipple, more so than the Brad Childress, the offensive coordinator. Mike Holmgren made this point, and he said that was his rule of thumb as a coach. He had a little bit of success coaching quarterbacks, you might recall, in this league, Holmgren. Some Hall of Famers. Well, his point was, as when he was head coach, as opposed to when he was offensive coordinator, it was his voice that he wanted to be the one and, you know, the final say thing. You take in what you hear from other people. It'll compliment. You'll hear, okay, great. But I'm the guy that you're going to listen to, and don't, you know, filter out some other things if it doesn't agree with his. And Pat Shurmur from all that I can gather, takes the same approach, which I think is the right approach for a head coach. All right, coming up, we're going to take a look, closer look, at the history in the rivalry between the Browns and the Bengals. Steve King will join us for that, our resident historian, on this Motown Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.
I'm getting a new truck today.
Yours is fine. Why would you put yourself through that?
I do it every 3 years, lady.
No.
Yeah. I lease from Liberty Ford every time. And right now, I can get a new F-150 Super Cab 4x4 for just $199 a month.
Well, that just sounds way too easy.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick,
Parma Heights, Vermilion. Oh. If you love wings, if you love rings, and all kinds of other tempting things, take time, great food, get you quick and safe and new.
Here's some math for back to school that everyone can understand. The Loops, 10 for under 10 bucks. Fill up your tank with the Loops signature creations for a limited time.
Great times, great food, get too quick to say goodbye.
In the world of B2B commerce, a lot can happen between that first B and the second. That's why First Merit Merchant Services is ready for anything. With a full range of support services from fraud monitoring to chargeback mitigation, your business can easily grow and change and grow some more. And if you sign up now, we'll waive your setup fee too. For more information, call 877-507-9007. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
The Improv Comedy Club is proud to present two icons of stand-up, Mitch Patel and a bad boy of comedy, Doug Stanhope. Come see Mitch Patel and Doug Stanhope this week at the Improv, right next to Shooters in the Flat. Mitch Patel, you know him from The Howard Stern Show and his hit DVD, Mini Skirts and Muffins. Doug Stanhope, you know him from Comedy Central's The Man Show. Now come see them both live and in person at the Improv. Call 696-IMPROV, that's 696-4677, for tickets to see the hysterically funny Mitch Patel and Doug Stanhope. We'll see you there.
Inside Eastside Volkswagen sales manager Ben Mendoza's shower.
Don't stop the shop Eastside.
Ben, enough already. Everyone knows don't stop till you shop Eastside by now.
I know, honey. I'm just practicing for our September Volkswagen commercial.
So what's the big deal this month?
Honey, we're out to sell 100 new VWs, so we're offering 0% financing on all new 2012 and select 2013 models.
0%? Which models and how long?
2012 Tiguans, Touaregs, Beetles, Rutans, and 2013 CCs are 0% for 72 months.
6 years, same as cash? That's worth singing about.
Plus, we still have our secret weapon, the $1,000 best price, best trade-in guarantee.
Step aside, let's do a duet.
Don't stop till you shop Eastside.
Don't stop till you shop the home of the $1,000 best price guarantee. Eastside Volkswagen in Willoughby Hills or on the web at eastsidevw.com. 0% with Tier 1 credit on all new Volkswagens.
I should join this Motown Thursday, the music that Dave Unitali plays during the show. Love it. All right. Well, on this show, we do a couple of things. One of the things we do is tell you this. Browns fans unite. We do more than a couple of things. We do many things, but this is what we're going to do right now. Browns fans unite. Single game and three game ticket plans are on sale now. Don't miss your chance to purchase tickets for all the exciting home matchups. Three-game ticket plans include sold-out games versus the Bills and Bengals or Steelers. Call 440-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today. Time for our history against the opponent segment of this show. And, of course, the opponent is the Bengals. And the guy talking about the history with that is our resident historian, Steve King. Steve, how you doing?
Good, my friend. How are you?
Great, and great to have you with us. As always, Steve, I want to start with the fact that, of course, these teams are divisional rivals, but they have so many connections that start with the fact that Paul Brown, the Browns founder, of course, ended up being the Bengals founder.
Yes, and you go back in the day when they first started playing each other in 1970, and it was a huge deal, and it still is to a lot of people who remember that. There were a lot of bitter feelings on both sides. It was strange to see Paul Brown, of all people, coming back into that stadium, standing on that north sideline, which is the visitor sideline at the time, and coaching somebody other than the Browns. You know, it would be like, you know, Mr. Macy running Gimbel's, or the CEO of Coke running Pepsi. It just was very odd. But, you know, we talked about, or, you know, we've seen in the last week all the stuff about, Art, you know, the passing of Art Modell and the connections between the Browns and the Ravens. But really, the Browns are just as much tied to the hip, you know, decades before with the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, it's strange to have three teams in one division that all kind of, you know, sprouted out of the same beanstalk.
So we can talk about games, specific games that stand out. Give me maybe, you know, a top, and it could be a lengthy list, but let's focus on maybe a few of the most memorable in the history between.
Well, I think the first game that they played against each other, actually the first two, they played a preseason game in 1970 against each other, and it was like a regular season game. And when the Bengals beat the Browns down at Cincinnati, it was big stuff. I mean, you know, Paul Brown, you know, jubilantly ran off the field, and you know, it was like a regular season game. They played back in Cleveland in the first part of the regular season, and it was the Browns came back and won. Blanton Collier walked across the field to shake hands with Paul Brown, and Paul Brown kind of waved and ran to the third base dugout. He was upset because Blanton Collier had taken the job when he got fired after the 62 season. Blanton Collier was hurt because Blanton had gone to Paul and said, they want me to take the job, Blanton, or Paul, are you okay with it? Paul signed off on it, and then somewhere in the succeeding years, he got upset about that, and the two never really spoke again. And talking to Kay Collier, Blanton's daughter, he died of a broken heart. It never really got over the fact that Paul Brown, who he was great friends with, they became almost estranged from one another.
How about in some of the modern era of?
Well, I think back to the game in 1980, the two games. Browns beat them up at Cleveland 31-7. A month later, they play at Cincinnati with, you know, division title all on the line, the Cardiac Kids.
Yep.
And, you know, there's, you know, Paul Brown up in the booth watching. There's Forrest Gregg on the sideline watching, and Art Modell had fired both of those guys, and they wanted nothing better than to beat the Browns that day and derail that playoff chances. And as it turned out, the game went down to the final play with Ron Bolton actually laying on Steve Kreider at the Cleveland 14-yard line so he couldn't get up, and they run another play. Cincinnati was out of timeouts. The Browns win 27-24. So that is tremendously indicative of what this rivalry was about. The following year, the Bengals beat the Browns at Cleveland the year they went to the Super Bowl. And Chris Collinsworth told the story of riding back on the plane, and Paul Brown walked up the aisle of the plane and found him and just hugged him, and he said, "My boy," he says, "I'm so proud of you." And it was a victory over the Browns because still meant something to him.
Well, it still means something to a lot of us, and we'll see how it plays out this weekend in the latest installment in the series. Steve, thank you so much.
Thank you.
He is Steve King, our resident historian, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up. I'll answer more of your questions and comment on your comments on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We're buying Emmy a Focus.
But you and Bob have been doing so well.
Well, she's 18, straight A's. We promised,
you know. How can any couple endure such turmoil? Don't risk it.
It's Liberty Ford. The hardest part is agreeing on color. The $169 a month on a new Focus, that's easy.
Oh, buying a car cannot be that easy.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, Stone.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere.
and virtual wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use mobile deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Hey Browns fans, Arby's wants you to win a ride to the Dog Pound. Stop into Arby's to enter to win a 2012 Ford Fiesta, plus four suite tickets and exclusive behind-the-scenes experiences for the Sunday, November 4th game against division rivals from Baltimore. For those that bleed orange and brown, visit your local Cleveland area Arby's restaurant for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Game ends September 28th, 2012. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of Ohio at least 18 years of age or older. Subject to official rules. Car courtesy of Liberty Ford. Sponsored by the Arby's Cleveland Co-op.
Hey Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your waste. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game days. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle.
We don't just sell oil. Oh, no. We won't rest until we know you're getting the best deals in town. And even more. Right now at Advance, a 5-plus quartz jug of Pennzoil conventional motor oil with filter is just $20.99. Now, that's a great deal. But what about the even more, you say? Well, here's what's even more. Right now at Advance, when you purchase a Pennzoil oil change special, you get $5 off instantly on a Purolator cabin or air filter. That's an even more deal that can help you spend even less. So, think we're gonna rest now that we've told you about these deals? There, we just did. Now back to work. A Pennzoil oil change special, just $20.99 plus $5 off on a Purolator cabin or air filter. Only at Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details.
If you're hosting an event this football season, then you need Hughes Event Production Services. Hughes Event Production Services is the area's largest rental and staging company. Whether it's a TV for your watch party, a stage for your tailgate concert, or anything in between, Hughes can get you what you need for your event. ESPN Cleveland uses Hughes, and so should you. So get to Hughes for your event needs today. For more information, call 216-361-4600 or go to Hughes.com. At Dave & Buster's, Sunday football is a big deal. A really big deal. A colossal, massive, gigantic deal. And that's just the TVs. Dave & Buster's is the perfect place to catch the game every Sunday because it's packed with massive screens for epic football action everywhere you look. When you want to watch the big game, you have to hit the big screens so you can catch every touchdown, tackle, and Hail Mary pass in its almost life-size glory. Even better, the Sunday deals are pretty huge, too, with serious savings on beer and appetizers. Score big at Dave & Buster's every Sunday. Learn more at DaveAndBusters.com. See store for details.
Chain, chain, chain.
I still love the tunage on the show. Do you not? Great tunage. And we love the questions, the comments that we receive on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, via the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages. Daily at Browns underscore daily and daily at clevelandbrowns.com, by the way, is the email. And that's another way to get to us. And voicemail 855-363-DAILY, 855-363-2459. If you want to hear yourself ask questions. Gary, he went the Facebook route. He's from England, by the way. Said he has supported this Browns team since 82 and remembers, of course, what they were like in the 80s with that offense. And the defense also doing its part. He says, what's happening these days, he says, the defense is great. The offense is terrible. Gary says, we can't seem to get a good thing going on that. A few years ago, the opposite. Defense was rubbish. Use a British term. There are millions of dollars in this game. Gary goes on to say, can anybody sort it out so that we don't have to endure what took place Sunday? This past Sunday. Well, Gary, I would say it can be sorted out. The reference to millions of dollars is, of course, what everybody looks at and says, highly paid teams. Teams are highly paid when they win, and they're highly paid when they lose in the NFL. It's the NFL. It's major league sports, but especially this league.
And it really has nothing to do with that in terms of what the success is in terms of investment. I hear people say, well, why don't you spend more and buy more free agents and go that route? Again, and it's a broken record, but the trail of success, the history shows us that your most effective teams in general are those that have been built from within, those that have not relied heavily on free agency. You can fill a key spot or two via free agency, but that's when you've got everything else cooking and running. And with this team going into the season, the presumption is within this team, within the hierarchy, that the drafting on the defensive side and for multiple years and now the drafting on the offensive side will mesh and produce something good going forward and sustainable, and you've heard all of that. You don't feel as good about that, I'm guessing, after the loss, and particularly a loss that saw the offense that was addressed so heavily in the draft perform as it did. But I don't, it doesn't make me quit in my mind to say the plan isn't any good. But sorting it out is, yeah, that's got to happen. That's coaching and that's players' accountability and all of that. David from Twitter, why don't the Browns use Joshua Cribbs in their offense more often? He has proven how effective a player he is year after year. Josh, definitely a spark plug and showed that in the return game this past week. Not a factor in the receiving game as he was a year ago, and that was more through the result of injury. And the plan for this year is to lean on, count on a couple of those rookies to make an impact, Travis Benjamin, Josh Gordon, along with Mo Massaqua, and be players that this team expects them to be as your top three group. And that Cribbs, while I don't think the thought is that he's completely eliminated from it, has a much more reduced or a much reduced role. I would say that it wouldn't shock me if he were to get involved as you try to seek more answers. But I think for the short term, for the immediate term, they'll continue to look for these young players to produce and be better and catch passes and have the guy throwing the ball throw better and play better. Josh, via email, he says, I know you're supposed to be able to run up the middle against the wide nine by nature. And, you know, this is me taking those defensive ends and putting them in what is the nine technique, the widest spot on that line. And theoretically, your players, your spacing, everything is wider. But obviously, Josh goes on to say it wasn't working against the Eagles. That's their front. So Josh says, asks, how about trying a stretch play to give T. Rich an opportunity to see some holes? I'm not opposed to anything that would help in that area. But I think the right thing was trying to take advantage of what that middle portion of the defense was. And you saw an end around. You saw a perimeter play involving Travis Benjamin, one of the few highlight offensive plays of the game. So that's in the thinking of this team, to go wide, to stretch. But stretch running plays, yeah. And your line has to be capable and able to handle that. You are playing a rookie at that right tackle position. I'm not saying this is a reason not to do more or some of the things you're suggesting other than basically the fundamental knock your guy back. But that is what they want Mitchell Schwartz to do, knock his guy back. And that would go along with the young Jason Pinkston, Sean LaValle, the young guards as well, Joe Thomas as well, Alex Mack as well. But this is a big physical Bengals defense. Can you go a little wider on them? Maybe. Maybe you can. Just by nature, the way they're built, the way they play, a little tighter in what they do in terms of alignment. Mike from Facebook, he says, all you people need to calm down. He's kind of yelling at his fellow Facebookers, Facebook users. Talking about Whedon, he says he's a rookie quarterback playing in his first game, playing against last year's eighth-ranked D, and a week after he sat. The only rookie quarterback who had even remotely a good game was Robert Griffin III. We talked about that with Chris Mortensen. Mike goes on to say, and he was playing against the 24th pass D from last year. Calm down, take a deep breath, and bring on the Bengals. He calls them the kiddies. Go Browns. I'm with you on the take a deep breath and calm down reaction. It's not easy to do. It's not easy for me. It's not. I don't think it's any easy for anyone in this building here in Berea to just take a breath. But that is the right prescription, Mike. You're saying the right thing. And your points are well taken about who you're facing and the legitimate or realistic success or lack thereof that you can expect. Okay? He'll have another tough defense, but he's got to respond. And you don't count on those stats and rankings. Chris Mortensen, want to thank him. I want to thank Steve King. We want to thank LJ Fort. And we want to thank Jameer Howerton and Drew Boatner and our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale. And the Urban Meyer call-in show is next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.